What's Trending.
Cheddar, mozzarella, Havarti.
Number one on What's Trending, the Chiefs get set for their second preseason game of the year tomorrow down in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium, 6:30 p.m. kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, you'll hear Mitch Holthus, Danan Hughes, and Josh Klingler. Joshua Briscoe will have pre- and post-game coverage here on 96.5 The Fan. We already know Patrick Mahomes not going to play. Justin Fields will get the start. We'll see about some of the other starters. We also know no Josh Simmons, no Trey Smith due to their injuries. But preseason game two, historically, you see a bit more playing time from some starters. I just wonder this year with all the injuries, it's just if it just has a different vibe. But we'll talk more about who we're looking forward to watching play tomorrow right after What's Trending.
Number two on What's Trending, it's a tale as old as time. The Royals have played themselves out of postseason contention and then decide to play good baseball. They beat the A's yesterday 6-2. Getting a four-game sweep over the Athletics for the first time since 94. They've won five games in a row now. And, I mean, remarkable day for Bobby Witt Jr. He scored three runs, including a homer. Randy Dobnik has come out of nowhere to become a solidified starter in this rotation, somebody that we're talking about for possibly being in the starting pitching rotation for next year. And Michael Massey, with a three-hit day yesterday, is now hitting almost .280. Unbelievable for a guy that many people have said, and have, including myself, that he could never be an everyday second baseman for the Royals.
Yeah, he's had a great year, and it's all been about staying healthy, and he has taken every advantage of finally having a healthy season. Next up on What's Trending, let's focus in on golf for a little bit. Over in St. Louis, the BMW Championship going on. J.J. Spahn is your current leader through eight today. He's 5-under today, 11-under for the tournament. Let's see some other notable names. Rory McIlroy, 7-under. Gary Woodland had the lead entering today. He is even for the day. He is 6-under for the tournament. Locally, we know the Advent Health Championship's going on. Korn Ferry Tour over at Blue Hills Country Club. Taylor Dickinson is the leader at 15 under right now. He's got a stroke lead. There's also 1, 2, 3 golfers tied at 13 under. I'm going to try to make my way over there on Sunday. I know Drew and I were talking off air about that the other day, but looking forward to heading over to Blue Hills. The weather looks awesome on Sunday. Like, I think the high's 82. Mm. So I'm looking forward to just chilling out there and watching a little bit of golf.
I would like to put it on record too, by the way. Okay. I never said I would win or be able to compete with the guys on the Korn Ferry Tour, because I did. Rob, Dusty, and I don't know if you guys have seen our socials, were able to go to Blue Hills Country Club. I did not shoot 15 under par by any stretch.
No,
of the
but remember, we were gonna. This all stemmed from your comment about total score. You know, the Masters and breaking 100 at Augusta, and then last year we tried to get you into the qualifying,
which I would not sniff making it.
We wanted to do that, and it fell apart. By the way, there is a golfer that was 4-under. The worst score was 4 over yesterday.
I did not
tied for 156th.
After one round, somebody really shot 15 or that's just currently?
Current leaderboard.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Yesterday, like a 61?
Yesterday, Drew, somebody, the low yesterday was 60. Somebody shot a 62. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah. Somebody shot a 62 yesterday. Two golfers. Jay Card the third and Yuta Segura, I think, shot a 62, 10 under. And then, yes, they're the leader is 15 under. He's 8 under today.
Okay.
65 yesterday, 64 today is what he shot.
Dang. Wow. Can we talk about the fact that Scotty Scheffler's over par at the BMW?
A little bit.
Over yesterday. He's even par today through
but
four holes.
But does it matter all that much, though? Because he's going to make it to the FedEx Cup final or whatever it is next week, and he's going to have the
number.
Yeah, so, I mean, does it really matter for him?
In terms of just his plays, seeing him be over par for the tournament is kind of weird.
Yeah, but for the guy that we is pound for pound the best golfer on planet Earth right now. For him to be over par in any tournament.
Yeah.
The fact that he made the cut, I think he's secure to get through.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on Gary Woodland over there as well, as he had the lead yesterday, and he just is teeing off on hole one.
Still playing good,
that's
though.
Why he's... It says even... I was just looking at the leaderboard. I didn't pay attention to the hole. So, yeah, he's even today because he hasn't finished hole
one. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, it'd be nice if he can be in contention heading into the rest of the weekend. Someone says there was a 60 at Blue Hills. Really? Wow.
Yo.
I saw a 60 too. I didn't even see the 60 on there. That's crazy.
Yeah, there are levels.
Man, oh man. Coming up at 1 o'clock, guys, a Fan Club Friday. here on Cody and Gold. We'll be joined by John Kurtz. We'll talk a lot of college football in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll mix in some NFL and everything else, but John Kurtz from the Open for Business newsletter covers the Big 12 and college football. A lot to get into, including today some court rulings that continue to cause chaos in college sports with this fifth-year eligibility crap. And it truly is just a complete mess. And so we will get into that in the 1 o'clock hour with Kurtz. But let's talk more about the Chiefs preseason game tomorrow. Who are we excited to see play? We acknowledge who we think needs to have a big day, but who do we actually want to see play? I think a guy that went up the list a bit for me from the first preseason game, as far as I want to watch tomorrow, is our Mason Thomas. One, because he had that one play really that we're talking about from last week that he flashed, saw the speed. It was very impressive. That's what he's going to be able to specialize in, especially early in his career as a speed rusher. But now that Ashton Gelati is dealing with this ruptured plantar fascia, and I know the reporting suggests that maybe he won't miss any time as far as a game, that'd be great. But I think you need to find out even more about R. Mason Thomas, whose workload could be increased. I hope they still play him a lot, because my only worry is now they're going to say, well, we can't afford for him to get hurt, so now we're going to cut back his playing time tomorrow. But I think he needs to play a lot.
I completely agree. He needs to play a lot. I'm with you 100% on that. I know that there's all these reports coming out about how great of a camp that Felix Anudike Uzomah has had. I'll believe it when I see it, because I haven't seen it. I'm not buying into this thought that in year four, Felix FAU has finally figured it out. He didn't play at all last year, and the two previous seasons provided little to nothing in terms of his production. Our Mason Thomas is somebody that when he was coming out of the draft and coming into the draft process out of Oklahoma, I didn't know a lot about him. And after watching tape, I came away incredibly impressed. He brings something different to the table. He is nearly a polar opposite of who George Karloftis is as an edge rusher, which I don't think is a bad thing for the Chiefs. He is that athletics, you know, quick first step, speed rusher type. And I think that that's something that the Chiefs kind of need from that position. You know, I wanted to see more of him before the Ashton Gelati injury took place. So this is absolutely an opportunity for him. Another guy I'm excited to see, and I mentioned him a little bit when we were talking with Bink during the Red Half Hour about need to, maybe less of a need, more of a want to see more of him, is Jaden Hicks. Shamari Connor is expected, you know, he's dealing with a bit of an injury right now, but even if he's healthy, I want to see more Jaden Hicks at the safety position than I do Shamari Connor. He's a great tackler, yeah, but his pass coverage has been a liability for this Chiefs team in the last couple of years. So Jaden Hicks was someone that last year everybody had big expectations for. He's always going to take the next step, and it was a disappointment. So much of a disappointment that Steve Spagnuolo talked about it to the media publicly more than once about how disappointed he was in Jaden Hicks. Can he do it finally here in year three and take that second safety job from Shamari Connor, pair him with Alohi Gilman? And I feel a little bit better about that safety room for the Kansas City Chiefs. If he can put together another really good day, he had a really good pass breakup in that game against the Rams. If there's more of that, I feel like you can build momentum going into the regular season with Jaden Hicks.
Another guy in the secondary, though, that I think we have to keep an eye on, that I'm excited to see. We've seen him look impressive in practice now that he's finally practicing without the yellow non-contact jersey, is Mansoor Delane.
Yeah.
We all know the sixth overall pick. He's going to finally get some game action Saturday night. I'll be curious how much he plays, but yes, the highlight catch from Cyrus Allen was against Delane, but if you go look, the coverage was actually pretty damn good. That's how impressive it was from Cyrus Allen. Wasn't like it was bad coverage from Mansoor Delane on that catch down the sideline 2 or 3 days ago at practice. So I want to see Mansoor Delane against some of the Bucs receivers. Now there's no Mike Evans there anymore and stuff. It's a little bit different, and I don't know exactly the starting wide receiver plan for the Bucs here in 2026. They got Ekbuka. I don't know if he's expected to play tomorrow night, but Ekbuka's there still. McMillan's still there. So we'll see. I don't know about the health of some of their other guys, but I want to see Mansoor Delane. Can he look like the shutdown corner and the limited snaps we're going to see going up against an opponent? And how physical is he at the line of scrimmage? Make sure he's still feeling good with that shoulder as well. So he would be somebody very high on the list just because we haven't seen him play in a game at all yet.
Yeah, that's fair.
He didn't play last week.
I completely agree. I like the Mansoor Delane pick. What about Jeffrey Bossa? You know, Cochran's not going to play tomorrow. Yep. So I feel like, you know, he's sort of been in this dogfight with Cochran and even Cooper McDonald to a certain extent for who's going to be that third linebacker. Bosa's going to have more run, I think, in this game on Saturday than he did even against Los Angeles to kind of prove himself, because I feel like there's a big swath of Chiefs fans that are hoping he can become that mm-hmm. third linebacker and kind of fit the mold of more of that Willie Gay type outside backer that the Chiefs lost with Leo Chenault going to Washington.
And from last week's preseason game, the only guy from the rookie class that I think we all wanted to see a little bit more of that did play was Peter Woods. But as I said on Monday's show, I was not discouraged at all by Peter Woods' performance, because the situations he was in against the Rams are not probably realistically where he's going to be in the regular season. There was no Chris Jones. There was no Tonga on the field. The Rams double teamed him. And that's not going to happen, really, at least in his rookie year with Chris Jones and Tonga. So I would like to see, yeah, if depending on how the Bucs approach him and how much playing time Chris Jones or Tonga get, does Peter Woods flash a bit more this week, as in he's causing some problems in the middle of that defensive line? He kind of was a non-factor against the Rams, but I think a lot of that was because of how the Rams approached him, and it's just not a realistic note. When Chris Jones and Tonga are out there, or Chris Jones and Peter Woods in a regular season game, they're not doubling Peter Woods and not doubling Chris Jones. You know what I mean? Like, I think some of that was unrealistic for what transpired.
I have complete belief in who Peter Woods is as a player. The fact that he fell all the way to 29 for the Chiefs felt like such a win. I think he's going to be an incredible football player. From my view, and I've said this before, I don't feel like this is the question is, how is Peter Woods a good football player? I think the question is, how good a football player is Peter Woods? Is he going to be a running mate next to Chris Jones on this defensive line, or is he the heir apparent to Chris Jones along this defensive line?
That's the hope.
That's the biggest question to me right now, especially with that lingering out in Chris Jones's contract going into this offseason. How good is he as a rookie? Because I already feel like he's a pretty good player.
Chiefs preseason tomorrow against the Bucs again, right here, 6:30 on 96.5. The Fan. Pregame coverage is an hour before that, but kickoff is at 6:30. All right, before we get to more on the Royal Stadium front here in 20 minutes or so, including the city council passing the ordinance yesterday and some comments from Mayor Quentin Lucas, let's get to the around the NFL a little bit. And we all know on this show, we have a lot of fun talking about Cincinnati because our producer Drew Nixon is a big Bengals fan. You guys may have heard that over the years, and we go back and forth quite a bit. That'll be something I'm sure will come up throughout the NFL season. Don't you worry. And they play each other in December. In fact, we just were talking off air yesterday with Cody as well. And like we're trying to figure out if we can make this road trip to Cincinnati a thing. The Chiefs play, is it December 13th?
I think
it is.
So, yes.
It's like a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it's Sunday afternoon game. We want to drive there, and especially if it ends up being a massive game for both teams, and there's a good chance it is a big game for both teams. Anyway, Joe Burrow, we know after last season, kind of spoke and sounded like a guy that was kind of down and everything, just about where things were at. Then he seemed to be more optimistic, and then he spoke again yesterday just about the importance of the season. Let's just play that, and we can go from there. Drew is not happy with how people are reacting to this clip.
I'm trying to put it out into the world. I'm trying to manifest it. I'm trying to show our guys the urgency that I have and that I want us to have as an organization to go and make it happen. You can keep pushing it down the road, or you can talk about it now and say this is the year. And you know, I'm tired of saying next year, next year, next year. This is it. Your life is too short to keep pushing things down the road, and I'm trying to instill some urgency and some intensity in everybody to go and be great every day and try to go make it happen.
You feel like it's got to be now or never?
That's how I'm treating it, for sure. That's how I'm treating it.
Does it feel like they are catching on?
I don't know if it's necessarily catching on or following or just feeling it themselves. I think, the veteran guys have all tried to do it in their own way. You know, Dax and Jonathan have both spoken up in front of the team about it. And, I more so do it with my actions and in individual conversations. But everybody feels it. Everybody, all the veterans that have come in and that have been here feel it and want to go and do it.
I think this sounds like a quarterback that recognizes that you can't just say, oh, we'll get them next year kind of thing. At some point, you get a year older, the roster gets older, other quarterbacks eventually coming to the league that are viewed as some of the top quarterbacks. And it's like, hey, this might be our quote unquote last chance with this group to get it done. I know they have Ja'Marr Chase, of course, locked up long term. Joe Burrow's on a contract extension as well. But that sounded like a quarterback. It's like, look, 3 years in a row missing the playoffs. Like, it's got to happen this year, or I don't know when it's going to happen. That's what it sounds like. And you're like, yeah, urgency is a great thing to have. But if they don't make the playoffs, or they don't get to, let's say, an AFC title game, Zach Taylor might be gone. They might blow some of this thing up in Cincinnati. That's how big of a year it is there.
Yeah. You actually had it. I'm surprised that you actually had this opinion. I'm very surprised, because everybody has had he's saying, if this isn't it, then I'm out and you need to trade me. And I don't think that's what he's saying.
Well, I think that's a possibility if it goes poorly, for sure.
Of course. But to me, that percentage is significantly smaller than Zach Taylor gets fired, GM gets fired. They figure things out. I think for those of you, and I'm sure many people on the text line and who are listening, including you guys, probably have not paid too much attention to what's going on or what's being said in Bengals training camp.
Oh, I'm so locked into Cincinnati, Drew.
I know they live rent free in a lot of people's heads. I actually might not be surprised if some people have listened to everything that he said, but this I think goes in parallel with the comments that he said about this group and this team, reminding him about the LSU team. It goes parallel, I believe, with what's happened the last couple of years, to the standpoint of, I think Rich Eisen really summed it up well yesterday. He had talked about it and said, Bengals fans should feel happy. It should be excited about this, about those comments. Like, I am very excited. I think Rich is correct in this, that hearing that from Joe Burrow, he has talked about being more vocal as a leader. He has talked about trying to encourage and show a more of a sense of urgency from a leadership perspective, as he said, with his actions. Then you bring in Dexter Lawrence, and you bring in Jonathan Allen, you bring in Brian Cook, you bring in Boye Mafe. Like, they have put a ton of resources into the team, finally, where this is the year to go and do it. And I think from the concept of just like making it isn't good enough, like, we've got a group that can go and win this, we should believe that now is the time to go and do this. And that's the urgency that he's talking about, more than if we don't win, then I'm leaving. Because part of the reason,
I think both can be true though, man. Like,
part of the reason, look, they've missed the playoffs the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
A main reason, actually, outside of 2024, was Joe Burrow was not playing. So mm-hmm. I think the concept sure. of the idea of, well, if they make the playoffs and then they lose in the first round, then he's gone. I think that's a dumb argument, because the idea of why they've missed the playoffs is not the team hasn't built around him, is not that the team isn't good enough around him, or the coach isn't good enough. It's that Joe Burrow has been hurt for two of the last 3 years.
I think all those things are part of it,
though. Significantly rattled their chances of making the playoffs.
That defense has been an absolute
dumpster fire. Which is why in 2024, when he played the full season and he didn't make it, that was a legitimate conversation that could be had. But people have been saying this ever since they missed it in 2023, that he should ask out. I think people from the jump people were saying when the draft order was figured out that he should pull a Eli and not go to Cincinnati. This has been a thing over the course of his whole career.
Yeah, because
people
Cincinnati is a terrible franchise.
But I understand.
That's why.
But they're not anymore, from the concept that they finally spent money. They've invested a ton of resources. That this is not on. There's no excuses this year.
I agree with that.
Well, then I think that Joe Burrow is partially to blame for it. I think that Zach Taylor is partially to blame for it. I don't think that you cannot blame Mike Brown at all for what happens this season, because they have a roster.
No, but you can blame him for ignoring it for 2 years. It's not like he just took over the front office this offseason.
Yeah, but as it pertains to this, but I think that Joe Burrow voicing his opinion has helped get them to this point where there is no... If they miss the playoffs and Joe Burrow asks out, Mike Brown is not to blame at all whatsoever.
Oh, I disagree.
I don't think at all whatsoever Mike Brown is to blame for what happens this season, because he has spent more money than he ever has before, has invested heavily in the areas that they were the weakest, and that's something the Bengals had never done before. If they don't make it this year, then it's nothing to do with the organization from a front office or from a ownership perspective, as much as it is the actual team and players themselves.
Yeah, it's a couple things. First off, this will surprise you, and we'll do our official divisional predictions and future stuff next week. Actually, we'll start those up. Looking forward to that. I actually think Cincinnati's going to win that division this year. Shocking, I know. But I actually think they're going to win it. So let me start with that. However, I could not disagree more on the idea that if they don't win the division and they aren't a wild card team, that it has nothing to do with their front office.
Has nothing to do with Mike Brown.
They have done everything they needed to do. You're the GM of the, you're the GM of a team that missed the playoffs for four straight years in this hypothetical. It absolutely has to do with you, along with Joe Burrow the prior years not being healthy, along with Zach Taylor underachieving. Mike Brown should be fired. Zach Taylor should be fired. You need to then worry about keeping Joe Burrow happy. All that can all be true while acknowledging that I do think they're a better football team this year. I'll be fascinated to see how Cincinnati screws it up, but I am predicting them probably to win the AFC North. That defense should be better, but I also think they have historically found ways to screw it up because they're the Bengals. But Joe Burrow has to stay healthy. I don't disagree with you on that at all, but if they miss the playoffs, it does still, as much as you want to hear it as a Cincinnati Bengals fan that he has urgency, sure, but at some point in time, if he feels like it's not happening there in Cincinnati, it would not be unheard of at all for Joe Burrow to not end up being there long term, Drew.
And I think what you said about, well, eventually, if it's not going to happen, will it ever? Why is this conversation never had about Josh Allen?
He hasn't missed the playoffs for three straight years last time I checked.
But to me, it's not about missing the playoffs.
Oh, though. That's the start of it. You got to make the playoffs to have a shot at going to Super Bowls,
I understand,
right?
But if you're Josh Allen and this whole time everybody's talked about, well, the Bills haven't done enough to help him. Look how Josh Allen's carrying the team. Why is nobody saying that Josh Allen should have been asking out by now to join a team that had a better roster than what the Bills have put together? Nobody is having that conversation. Nobody is having the conversation about Lamar Jackson either, where Lamar, again, some of it is his play in the postseason, but there is nobody who is talking about Josh Allen has done literally everything you could do to win a game and the team hasn't come through for him. That a lot of the conversation is kind of
because he doesn't
Joe
sound depressed during press conferences and down and mopey all the freaking time the way Joe Burrow does.
But yeah. I think that that's less related to I think it's him individually going through a lot of things where, again, if you've listened to what he said, I think that over the course of this training camp, he has sounded more energetic and more fired up about this season, maybe than he ever has before, because they have an all-pro in Dexter Lawrence, a guy that in DJ Turner that was as good as statistically some of the best corners in all of football. They bring in Brian Cook, who's a great leader. Jonathan Allen, a ton of experience. Boye Mafe was great last year.
No, yeah, I think they should be much better. I think they might win the division this year,
Drew.
They
are built in a position where this is a team that can go and win the whole thing and is the best team that he's ever had. So that's why he's saying what he's saying. To me, it's not a...
But Josh Allen's coach did get fired, though, right? Yeah. You know, you're acting like they haven't done anything to try to correct the problem. Like, they did fire their coach. They're saying it's not good enough.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's not... It's more organizationally. The same that we're talking about for the Cincinnati Bengals, a lot of it... Joe Burrow, I think, really likes Zach Taylor. Jamar Chase likes Zach Taylor. That's why he's still the coach there. Well, regardless of what you think on the quarterback likes the coach, he's going to be there. I think that that's... In large part, also, Zach Taylor deserves some credit for how good the offense has looked over the last, ever since Joe Burrow has been a quarterback.
That's always the tough conversation, right? Like, Zach Taylor, I'm not saying he's an idiot. He clearly isn't, but he's got Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Burrow. I would think a lot of OCs can work with that, or play callers can work with that, I should say. And I know he doesn't always call the plays. He's had other guys come in, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's other guys who have gotten jobs because the offense has been so good, quite honestly. But I think that from the standpoint of the organization not doing enough, I think the same conversation in a way could be had about Josh Allen. It just so happens they've been in an easier division. They have had a better defense or whatever the case is.
I think the Bills have had better rosters.
But I think that if we're having the then why is it not being said about Josh Allen, though, where if they have better rosters and they're still not getting it done, that Josh Allen shouldn't just be like, yo, we need to do something different.
In my view, it puts more of the responsibility on Josh Allen. Like, you have a better roster and you still can't get it done.
So you would be more critical of Josh Allen in this instance.
Absolutely.
I've always been more critical
of Josh Allen in these situations. That he's had better teams. He's had much better offensive lines, certainly, than Joe Burrow has ever experienced during his time in Cincinnati. And Joe Burrow still got to a Super Bowl. Did he win it? No, but he got there.
And he beat Josh Allen in the playoffs. Has Josh Allen done it?
Yeah, I guess this goes back, and we actually got to get to a break in a second, but this goes back to just like the disagreement we always have when we get into the quarterback conversation about Allen, Lamar, and Burrow, which is I don't penalize Josh Allen, though, for losing in AFC title games more than I do Joe Burrow for missing the playoffs for three straight years. And that's, again, we're kind of ending that conversation again.
But isn't that why I'd be pissed off
if I'm Joe Burrow? My team's not making the playoffs. Josh Allen, we don't always think it's everybody else's fault. In Buffalo, we've acknowledged that Josh Allen needs to play better. Joe Burrow needs to stay healthy. I'm with you, but it is not just because Joe Burrow has been unhealthy that the Bengals have missed the playoffs for three straight years.
In 23 and 25, it was.
but not all 3 years. What about the other year?
I know, but in 2024 it was not. But I think the conversation of, well, Joe has never made it because the other team, and I'm surprised that I'm the one who's saying this. Joe Burrow's injuries are the main reason they missed in 2023 and the main reason they missed in 2025. So to think that he's urgent because the team isn't good enough built around him when he's been
hurt. Why else would he be more urgent this year? Because he hasn't made the damn playoffs. It hasn't happened for him.
I understand
that. Why else would he be more? Of course that's why he's more urgent.
I understand that, but the idea and the conversation and the narrative around the Bengals being, well, they haven't done enough, so Joe Burrow's going to ask out if they don't make it. Two of the 3 years they missed it, he's been hurt. That's the reason why they haven't made it. So I think the conversation of, well, the Bengals haven't done enough is actually irrelevant in this conversation because...
But he just gets hurt because he's just standing there? He's not getting hurt because his O-line sucks? You know what I mean? Like, he just getting hurt because he just stood there and broke something? Like,
to be honest with you, the throw was a freak injury. His offensive line protected perfectly on the play, and he had a freak injury.
He's had more than one injury.
I understand. Turf toe happened because, you know, he was trying to plant his foot and go forward and make a play. Brock Purdy had the exact same injury, and nobody's talking about Brock Purdy... And the offensive line didn't block for him. They had the exact same
injury. Nobody tries to compare.
Joe Burrow's was worse.
In fairness to the Brock Purdy thing, nobody's ever tried to make the argument that Brock Purdy's a top five or six quarterback in football. We talk about Burrow and Lamar and Mahomes and Allen differently because we all put them in a pretty special group.
If they make the playoffs and lose and don't make it to a Super Bowl and Joe Burrow decides that he's out, I would be extremely surprised. I think that would be unfair because of what the organization has done, given that two of the 3 years they missed the playoffs, Joe Burrow wasn't healthy. And quite honestly, the injury stuff, I don't think you can blame the offensive line for the fact that he had a turf toe issue last year or the fact that his wrist decided to crap out on him.
Yeah, I just don't see it. That's just not something that happens with court. I don't buy it that he's going to go anywhere, that he'll ask out, because that's just not something quarterbacks do.
People don't want Joe Burrow on the Bengals is what it is.
A couple things. Anyway, we're waiting, same narrative. I can't let that go without at least responding to it. We got to get to a break. I said that before, like 2 minutes ago. But I would say, for one, what do you mean quarterbacks don't leave? Quarterbacks absolutely do leave. Aaron Rodgers left. Russell Wilson.
They leave via free agency.
Aaron Rodgers left because they drafted his replacement.
Very rarely do you see
a top five quarterback get
traded away.
I'm not making a direct comp. I disagree with the notion, though, that like we just don't ever see quarterbacks move. We absolutely have here over the last 5 years. First of all. And then the other part, though, just with like Joe Burrow, again, I think they're actually going to be good this year. So this whole conversation about is probably... It's not going to, that this scenario probably is not going to happen. I actually think Cincinnati will be very good this year. I think Burrow will finally get back to the postseason for the first time in four years by the time they get in. All right. Coming up in a half hour, guys, Fan Club Friday, John Kurtz going to join us. We'll talk college football up next. So I do want to talk Royal Stadium and the city ordinance, the city council passing the stadium ordinance yesterday, but an interesting comment from the mayor on a different station. We'll play some of that, and the random question of the day is next.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays starting at 10 on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Coming up in 25 minutes, it's a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger & Co. along with Circus Sports. John Kurtz going to talk some college football with us, KU, K-State, Missouri, Big 12 as a whole, LSEC, also the multiple court rulings that have been handed down today when it comes to eligibility in collegiate sports. It got messier. The NCAA just put out a statement, so we'll get to all that with Kurtz coming up in a bit. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber is in for Cody today. Guys, I figured out why Cody picked this weekend to go to the Ozarks. That's where he's at. He's down at the Ozarks. Did you guys see this story about the massive drug seizure at a gathering of the Juggalos? Yes, Juggalos in Missouri. He's. Are we sure he's not there for the gathering of the Juggalos in Missouri? Which is, what is it? You look this up.
Yeah, apparently Juggalos are people that are like fans of like Insane Clown Posse or people like or groups along those lines. Other artists that are on psychopathic records.
Okay, and Cody chose this weekend of all weekends to go to the Ozarks when this gathering's happening, and there was, over 600 pounds of drugs seized at the music festival yesterday. Yeah. 600 pounds!
135 and a half pounds of ketamine, 124 pounds of mushrooms, 93 pounds of marijuana, 66 pounds of MDMA and ecstasy, and an additional 40 pounds of edibles.
Oh my God.
And that's just this news report. Not to mention that there was 33 grams of fentanyl that was also seized during this drug bust.
I didn't know Cody was an Insane Clown Posse fan. I didn't know that was his thing. But he left I think yesterday afternoon, last night, he's been down there. They're only 2 days into the festival, and they've already seized 622 and a half pounds of drugs.
These people, I want to clarify, insane. The people that were arrested were from Maryland and Delaware. So this doesn't all get put on Missouri. I know Missouri gets a bad rap, especially Southwest Missouri. I should know. I worked and lived there for 5 years.
Did you say
years.
They had meth or no?
No.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Anything,
yeah.
Nothing about meth, mm-hmm. which does check Actually. Out as being out-of-towners from the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it was people from Southwest Missouri, meth's involved. Heroin's involved.
Just checking. Just checking. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 7
Someone
minutes.
Someone wants to know if Pablo Plechkovar was involved.
Yeah, he could have been. Oh, what a story that was. If you don't know what we're talking about, that was the story out of Penn State earlier in the week where the frat house where the one of the fraternity brothers was basically a drug kingpin on campus, and his nickname was Pablo Plechkovar, and it was an unbelievable story. It was a trash of the day earlier in the week, and people came up with some good puns and everything. That my favorite was Snow Paterno.
That one's insane.
That was my favorite.
There's always something
Snow
going on.
Snow Paterno.
Something controversial.
White out at Penn
off.
State. All right.
White out. Yep, yeah. Yep.
Anyway, let's talk a little Royals baseball. Actually, more on the business side of it with the stadium. We all know yesterday the big news that the Royal Stadium getting closer to a home downtown with a $600 million commitment signed off on by the city council. They approved an ordinance. It was, I think, 11-1. Somebody abstained, so I don't think it was officially 11-2. I think it was 11-1. Anyway, authorizing these agreements. And the estimated, under the agreement, the goal for public sources to cover 60% of project costs up to $1.9 billion, or an estimated $1.14 billion. And then private funding would cover the other 40%, which is about $760 million. We all know this has been going on for quite some time. And this was expected yesterday. We had a councilman, Wes Rogers, on the show earlier in the week and kind of laid out the timeline of this. We all expected this to get approved yesterday, and it did. Now, it's not done. There are other elements. We've got to figure out the boundaries of the district, as you pointed out earlier, still some questions around the bonds and how that's going to move forward. But it seems like things are now on track, although it was kind of odd yesterday when Mayor Quinn Lucas, he was on KCMO Talk Radio, and I don't know if this was just a little CYA trying to make sure he's acknowledging the potential of still this a petition, because the thought was they were rushing this thing through from some people on the outside. They were rushing it through because they didn't want to deal with this petition. And so they got to get it passed. And then the mayor said this on KCMO Talk Radio yesterday.
What I would say is actually be somewhat fair. We're going through lots of the steps in connection with it. This is not one state legislative vote one day, a city council ratification like you've seen in other jurisdictions, and then you're all out of it. This is actually something where we will go through a number of steps. And what's more, the public gets their vote. And so, you know, I think if the question just is, you know, are there enough safeguards? Are there enough checks? Kansas City, its charter, the Missouri laws allow it. We're going through all of those steps, but nothing restrains our ability to keep doing work along the way.
What do you mean, though, the public gets their vote?
I think the petitioners, as I read the law right now, the petitioners are entitled to presentment of that issue on a future ballot. That's what I'm saying. There are some who are suggesting otherwise. I haven't read the work. I did see that, you know, some interesting other cases out of Missouri yesterday. But look, we believe in our charter, and I think we're going to make sure we follow it to a T.
So that was the mayor on KCMO Talk Radio yesterday. And it's kind of interesting because nobody else is really talking about the vote anymore, as if this kind of ends it. But then you had the mayor acknowledging that he claims by looking at the law that they're entitled to this vote. I don't know if that was just trying to cover and say, I know I'm willing to, even if the vote never happens, I was willing to have that happen, or I believe that should have happened. I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I'm not educated enough on specifically the Missouri law of how that works with ballot measures, but it was kind of interesting to me that this passes yesterday. And those comments, in fairness, were before it passed, but everybody knew it was going to pass. Could we still end up with a, is that still in play, that we could still get a public vote? That changes everything if that's the case. I believe we're getting downtown baseball in Kansas City, Missouri. Let me be clear. But I just thought that was kind of interesting yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's still a possibility to have a vote. But, I mean, are they going to be able to get this petition through in order to get this thing on the ballot by November? I mean, by November 3rd, you've got 2.5 months to do it. I just don't see that as incredibly viable. So then what? You're having to wait until next April, next August, next November, or even into 2028. By that time, it's too little too late. By that time, they've broke ground. Things are up and moving. I mean, Mayor Q talking about the vote yesterday, he also, during his comments after the vote passed, and several others said the same thing, excited for baseball at the new ballpark in 2030, because their plan believes that they could get this thing done a year early before that stadium, at least at Kauffman, expires after the 2030 season, where we could have downtown baseball by then. So if you're going to get this petition through and get this ballot measure put on for the people to vote on, it's going to have to move really quickly. And I just don't think that that's overly possible. To me, it feels like you were saying, like Mayor Lucas kind of trying to cross his T's and dot his I's, cover all of his bases, so to speak, to say like, hey, you know, I was open to it. I was going to allow the residents of Kansas City to vote on it if that's what they wanted.
I think
they
it was a bit of
done
the,
in time.
I think, again, it was in response to the question, I believe. We obviously didn't hear the question there in the clip, but it was essentially the thought that it's being rushed and why this is happening so quickly when there are still details that we do not know. They approve the financing package, but there are still things that are not clear this entire thing. So we'll see how that plays out. But yesterday it was significant news, though, that the city council passed the financing to move forward, it looks like, with downtown baseball in KC Mo. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
913-586-7965. 913-586-7965 on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line. I believe Drew has taken the reins today for the random question of the
day. I was having a conversation last night about just places like traveling and stuff like that. Like, obviously, you know, we have a lot of traveling stories for a variety of different reasons, but this one was just about like places that you'd want to go. If you had a top five list, I was talking with some friends about like top five places that would be cool to visit. Could be across the world, could be in the States. What's your top five?
Just top five cities that I've already visited or I want to.
I mean, it could be it could be cities that you've been to, but more just, is there a place that's somewhere that you haven't been was more of the conversation. But if you want to include somewhere you've been that you want to go back to, sure.
So I have not been, but everybody tells me it's amazing. I want to get to San Diego at some point. That is definitely on the list. It looks beautiful. It feels like the weather's 75 and sunny every dang day out there. Coronado Island or whatever it's called right outside of San Diego. That is very high on the list, and it's a city I haven't been to. As far as cities that I have been to that I just like, I like going to, I'm actually, as far as a visitor, I like the city of Chicago. I think it's a great city to visit. I haven't been in a couple of years. So that's one of my favorite cities to visit. We're going to one of my other favorite cities to visit. That's Las Vegas. We're going to that next Wednesday. We'll be out there for Circus Sports Contest weekend. And then I believe we're going out there 5 weeks later for Chiefs Raiders. So I think I'm going to Vegas twice in like a 5 week span, which is a new record.
You're putting up CDOT numbers.
I think that's a new record for Vegas. So those are a couple. And then I guess if I combine the list into cities or countries I haven't been to, I finally am starting to travel internationally a bit more. So I've been to a couple like Caribbean islands. I want to get to Europe at some point. I love to go to like Madrid, Spain, and I don't know, the Chiefs might play there next year. Who knows?
I like where you're at. I'm somebody that until recently I hadn't traveled internationally, but in the last 3 or 4 years, been to Mexico, been to Jamaica, been to Costa Rica. I think next year we're going to the Dominican Republic.
Be careful about models on Instagram and getting kidnapped at a Coco Bongo.
You're married, so it should help Logan. But
do you know? Oh, what? You don't know this. Oh, he doesn't know the story.
What's happening? Right.
Well, continue. We'll get back to. Yeah, I was just in Punta Cana. That's why.
Oh, I got you. They were in Punta Cana this past year with our big vacation group. We didn't go. I think we're going to be on the other side of the island this next year. I don't know where exactly, but we won't be in Punta Cana.
In
the DR next year. Okay. But I mean, I feel like the point stands. Somebody said get to Costa Rica. I agree. It's a gorgeous
place.
Been there? We went there last year. Or 2 years ago, never mind. We went to Jamaica last year. 2 years ago, we were in Costa Rica. Our resort was in a gorgeous spot. We were like in this little valley surrounded by rainforest on all sides. There was a volcano that was like, I mean, a few miles from our resort, but you could see it. It was absolutely beautiful. But I love the idea of traveling internationally. I'll throw Hawaii on there. I actually think we're going to get a chance to go to Hawaii next April. One of my wife's best friends is getting married, and so we're gonna make the trip to Hawaii for that. So that's exciting. Outside of that, I'm a huge history nerd. I absolutely love the concept of not just U.S. history, but world history in general. So I want to get to France at some point. My parents went last year and did like a Band of Brothers tour. If you've never seen the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, I don't know what you're doing. It's so good. And so I'd like to get to France and see some of those places. And I mean, beyond that, like getting to see certain parts of Italy, Venice, Florence, places like that down in Italy is something that interests me quite a bit. And then I've never been to New York. I'd love to see.
I'd love
to visit New York.
Yeah, you
got to
go once. I've only been once, and I don't really have much desire to go back, quite honestly. But you got to go.
Probably feel
once.
The same way, Logan.
You got to go to New York City once, but I really have a huge desire to go
DC,
back.
DC. Yeah, I'd like to get to DC again. I went my senior year of high school. It was my senior trip to DC, and I'd like to get back there.
Yeah, never been to DC. That's on the list. That's definitely on the list. Drew, what's your answer before we get to the text line? What's your answer?
So for me, a lot of it is more international stuff. The one that's in the States, I was like two when I went, but Hawaii.
Yep.
Don't remember going to Hawaii. I would say Hawaii's on there. Somewhere in the like the DR or Jamaica,
everybody's talking about the DR now.
Feels like anywhere in the Caribbean, I think is a spot that
go to Bahamas. Bahamas, the beach was unbelievable in Nassau.
Wherever it is, because I've never been out of the country before. I've never been to Mexico or Canada, so I think all of mine are like international outside of Hawaii. London, I'd love to go to Kyoto, Japan. I think that would be really cool. The Great Wall of China would be like from a history perspective to say that you walked on the Great Wall like that. That would just be something like mind blowing. I also would love to go on an African safari of some kind. That would be awesome.
If you're going to do history, I think you got to do it internationally, because I feel like we as Americans don't understand like the gravity of some of these situations. Like we look at buildings in the United States that were built in the 1800s and we're like, oh wow, that's fascinating. My parents went to a mosque, like a temple in France that's built on an island that was like washed away by sand. It's like an 800-year-old building. It's like, folks, that was built 400, 500 years before the U.S. was even a thing. Like, it gives you a greater context of just how old things are.
Text line, a lot of answers, as you can imagine. Someone says Santorini, Greece, Miami, Hawaii, Paris, Tokyo. A lot of Hawaii. Hawaii definitely is on the list at some point in time. Someone says Vegas, Chicago, Rome. Another person mentioning Greece, Seattle. I've been to Seattle. I actually like Seattle as a visitor. I would never live there. Too expensive. But I actually enjoyed my time in Seattle. It's a really cool city. Let's see. Someone else mentioning...
Thailand for the food and women, apparently.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. That's the second person that said that.
Someone said if you haven't been to Alaska. Alaska is the only state that I've never been to. I've been to 49 out of 50 states.
Really?
Alaska's the only one. We drove into Maine like 10 miles in, turn around. All right, you cool, you're in Maine.
Does that count?
Yes.
I don't feel like that counts.
I got out of the car and set feet
you gotta
in
stay,
Maine.
You've got to be there for an entire day or night. You have to be in the state for a day or night for it to count.
I don't think if you're doing the checklist and crossing off all the states, I think if you're on a road trip and you cross into seven states, that counts as seven states. I think it counts.
I feel like you got to experience something in that state.
Okay.
I feel like if you go to the four corners, I feel like that counts because you experience something in all four states if you go to the four corners. But to have your front right tire in a state, I don't feel like that qualifies as
Alaska,
you being in that state.
Like everybody swears by Alaskan cruises, like going on an Alaskan cruise. I don't know. For me, maybe I'm overthinking, but I don't want to be cold on the cruise. I don't want to have to be wearing a coat while I'm on a cruise. I don't know. I've never been on a cruise in fairness, period. So maybe I would love it. I don't know.
I'm not a cruise person, but
a lot of people mentioning a couple people now, Egypt to go see the pyramids. That would be amazing. That would be a pretty amazing trip. Yeah.
I think seeing Dubai would be kind of cool just from the skyscraper element of this place just looks a little futuristic in a way, you know.
Yeah, the technology and this, everything is up to is ridiculous.
I like your London poll too. That would probably be sixth on my list.
We had Vinny on during the fall, and Vinny said he went to London and didn't like it that much because it reminded him of the U.S. so much that it wasn't
like New York.
You weren't able, like, it was good, but it reminded you of America in a way, which I can I get it.
Weird. I wonder where we got it from.
A couple of people saying that you have to go to sleep or eat a meal to count on your state list. They're agreeing with you, Logan. A couple other texts mentioning say it was not cold on the Alaskan cruise. Okay.
Depending on the time of year you go, it could be sunlight for 24 hours.
That would be weird at 2 a.m. on your Alaskan cruise and it's just sunny out.
Someone said Switzerland and Christmas. I've seen a lot of seen a lot of like in the Swiss Alps, some of just the picturesque settings. Not that the U.S. doesn't have it, because obviously we have it, but seeing some of these other places and just the way that things look there. It's just very, very cool to, I like also experiencing, like, I think some of this is because of the World Cup too, like seeing other people travel over here and seeing some of what they do a little bit culturally, like being able to go over there and just fully get, you know, 10 toes into like that culture. Like my brother or my sister rather went to Portugal, loved it, thought it was awesome. And that just makes you want to go and experience other things.
Yeah. South France, I think would be incredible. Like the southern part of France would be incredible. Somebody is saying, New Orleans, stay off Bourbon Street unless it's morning. I've been in New Orleans falls in the same as the New York City category for me. It's like, you got to go once or twice to, or maybe, you know, to experience it, but I'm good. Like if I don't ever go to New Orleans again, I'm good. Like I enjoyed Bourbon Street. It's a cool experience. Go once. I'm good.
Someone said they had a donut from a donut shop in New Hampshire. Logan, does that count?
I feel like that does count.
While standing. A little
bit. I feel like that counts. Okay. I mean, you experience something in New Hampshire. I'm saying if you're just driving through a state in your car, like I just don't feel like that counts.
I think you can mark it off the list.
We got out of the car and stood on the concrete of Maine.
And
I didn't go to Cooper Flagg's house. No. But
you had time to take a photo. Did you? Or did you not even take a photo?
I honestly don't remember. I was too young.
I don't know how many states.
To know, but I think we got it. We got out of the car.
If we're counting the driving aspect, I bet you I've only probably been in 25 or 30 states.
Yeah. Obviously I've hit all the states in the Midwest, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, a little bit into Georgia, but like, most of the eastern seaboard and western part of the country, I haven't been any further west than Colorado at this point.
Someone says, slow sports day. No, welcome to the show. Random question of the day. We do this every single day at this time. It's literally called the random question of the day. So no, it has nothing. We do the same thing, whether it's Super Bowl week or whether it's
almost better
August
when it's not about
the
sports,
21st.
Actually.
So yeah.
Somebody said, can Logan tell us what to do in the Dakotas? Yeah, I'll tell you. I've been to the Dakotas. Okay. First of all, if you go to Mount Rushmore, you hit it. Badlands, Custer State Park, there's that Crazy Horse. I think it's the Crazy Horse Memorial at one point. There's things to, you know, there's a few things to do in South Dakota. There's right by Mount Rushmore, there's this big, like, mountain roller coaster thing that you can go down. There's things that you can go do, experience at once, and then get out, because outside of that, there's not a whole lot going on in the Dakotas. Same thing with Idaho.
That is the random question of the day. I like this criteria from somebody. They said driving counts. Airport does not. Full agreement. I don't think it counts. Like I've been at the Charlotte airport. I don't count that as being in Charlotte.
Yes.
But if you drive through it, it counts. But yeah, any layovers at a city, that doesn't count. Like I'm going to LA for the first time in December, but I've had a layover at LAX. I have not been to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's kind of
we had a layover in Atlanta last year. I haven't been to Atlanta. Layover in Miami. Haven't been to Miami then.
All right. Coming up next, let's get to a Fan Club Friday brought to you by Jay Rieger and Circa Sports. John Kurtz going to talk some college football with us. A perfect day for it with some of this craziness once again happening with eligibility in collegiate sports. We'll do that next here on 96.5 The Fan.